Many people find traveling in Pittsburgh to be difficult in the city of Pittsburgh, the triangle, if you will, of Pittsburgh. In part, it's due to all of the taller buildings. So at least for a while, I don't know what it's like right now. Even my GPS had a hard time putting me on the right street because because of the tall buildings and narrow streets, it couldn't always find where my car was. Another reason why people have difficulty driving in the city of Pittsburgh is there is a tremendous amount of one-way streets. And Carrie and I noticed that really right from the very beginning. We had a situation that took us down a one-way street that wasn't good. But my question to you is this. Have you ever turned down a one-way street only to see a sign that says wrong way? Maybe you've never done that. Obviously, I have. The sign itself doesn't stop you. What you have to do is acknowledge that you are going the wrong way down a one-way street. You're going to have to acknowledge that. And then you have to decide whether you're going to try to turn around or whether you're going to just keep going the wrong direction down a one-way street. And you can do that, but you do that with peril in front of you. It can be life-threatening consequences. When we take a look at street signs, and I was going to have this one be the last, but I got talked into doing one more street sign that we will do next week. I want to take a look at this idea of one way. And I want to obviously center around that one way being Jesus. And when we talk about that this morning, when we think about that, when you see a one-way street sign again, and maybe you'll have maybe a flashback to this moment. What does it really mean for Jesus to be the one way? Let's have a prayer together. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Father, we thank you so much for Scott leading us today. We thank you so much for our prayer time and our communion time and the reading of scripture. And Father, as we come now to this idea that Jesus is the way, we ask you, Father, to open our hearts to receive a message that could be very harsh sounding to many people. But yet we want to know truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to see that as we take a look at Jesus. And we pray, Father, for a heart to come to you through Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 13, after the supper is over, after Judas leaves to go and betray Jesus, Jesus is with the 11 there afterwards, and he tells them that he is going away, and where he is going, they cannot come now. And then he turns around immediately and gets into the topic that he's going to want to talk about that we kind of see in chapter 15. And that topic is this commandment of love one another as I have loved you. And it's a beautiful statement, but the difficulty is they weren't ready for that statement. And they weren't ready to talk about love. What they heard was Jesus saying, I am going away. And everything he said after that didn't make a difference. It was, wait, what does that fully mean? It's Peter that first makes the statement. He says, Lord, where are you going? And again, Jesus makes the statement to him, you know, where I'm going now, you cannot follow, but you will follow me afterwards. And to that, Peter says, I love it. Peter says, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And in the midst of all, because remember, this is shock for them. And they're really struggling. Even though Jesus has talked about this on more than one occasion, they haven't perceived it. And maybe there's multiple reasons why they hadn't perceived it, but they're perceiving it right now. So Peter says, I'm willing to go with you anywhere, to which Jesus says, you're not even going to make it the night. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And I mean, everybody seems to be lost in this discussion and in what is happening. I want you to pick up the conversation with me. In John chapter 14, I'm going to begin with verse 1 and we're going to go through verse 7. Jesus continues on right after he gets done with Peter, because we put in the chapters and verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Whether it's Peter beginning this talk about where are you going, whether it is Thomas jumping in and saying, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Whether it is Philip right after this saying, you know, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. Because what it is, they're all lost in this fact that Jesus says, I'm going away. But in that sadness, Jesus is going to make a statement at this meal that really changes everything. His answer is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you understand how they might have felt? For 2 to 3 years, these 11 have been with Jesus, have walked with Jesus, have listened to Jesus, have received power from the Holy Spirit that really came because of Jesus. They have been sent out to do great things. They've been preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. But Jesus is trying to calm them right now. And to this group, who would become the teachers, the preachers, the guardian of the faith, who would communicate the doctrine of the new covenant, they need to grasp, I think, a singular truth. A truth that to some degree, without this truth, nothing else makes a difference. And the truth that he wants them to grasp and to believe is that he, Jesus, is the way, the truth, and the life. And that nobody can come to God. Nobody can come to the Father except through Jesus. That's a mind shift. They have to now say it is not the law of Moses that makes me holy before God. Just let that sit with your semi-Jewish self. This teaching of the the Torah and the Tanakh, this synagogue, this gathering, these rabbis pushing the laws upon you and calling you to greater holiness before God by keeping these laws. Jesus is saying, I am the way, not the law. I am the way. That is a fundamental shift in how they are thinking. The Sanhedrin, the high priest, was not the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus alone brings life. How does that work? When you read what Jesus said to them in John 14 and verse 6, we find a powerful word inside these few words that Jesus gives. And that word is the, a word that we use all the time. Okay? The word the is a definite article. Okay? It is exclusive in how it is written. If I say to you, there is a car, you know that I am talking about a vehicle, but you don't really know which vehicle I'm talking about. But if I say to you, there is the car, well, you know I'm not talking about that little Hyundai Elantra that I drive. You know I'm talking about the other car that's sitting next to it that I really want. Okay? You know that because I use this word the, that definite article. It separated everything out. In our society, we do not like exclusivity. It sounds extremely narrow-minded. Yet Jesus demands exclusivity. And I'm telling you, it's not just a game changer to those 11. It's a game changer to all of the world. Because everything changes based upon that statement. If you want to be with God when you die, Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no getting to God without getting to Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if I don't base everything in that statement, then what we do is we want everything to be what I want it to mean and what I want it to say. The world, and I would tell you even some within Christendom, want Jesus to say, I am a way. I am a truth. I'm a life. That's what they want to hear. I'm one of many. I'm a good one. That's what Christians sometimes sound like when we talk about Jesus. And when you read some of the New Testament, some of the people that get early in the church, they're struggling. They're struggling with, is Jesus the way or simply a way? And Jesus is saying, I am the way. People really don't want to hear that. People want to hear that Jesus is a prophet like Muhammad. Good men who developed good religions, who gave people something to make them feel better about themselves. They want to hear that Jesus was a social teacher like Confucius, who really wanted to change society by changing the dynamics within society and how the collective needs to be more important than the individual, and society's needs need to come first. I'm not saying they weren't decent people. I am going to tell you, they're not Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to tell you. They are not the way to the Father. It's not through anybody but Jesus that I get to God. There is nobody else. And so it's not all religions work well, pick the one that works best for you. It is by definition exclusive. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. Are you really ready? And I do mean this, disciples. Are you really ready to make that the mantra of your life? Because it'll change you. I mean, it will change. It will change how you think. It'll change your approach to life, how you treat people. Everything changes if you absolutely believe that the only way to the Father is through Jesus. Then where you get to is religion can't save you. Jesus can. Because otherwise, just pick your favorite religion. Okay? If it's religion that saves you, just pick your favorite one. But it's not with Jesus. This is a one-way sign that I have driven on a wrong one-way street before. Okay? And it is scary because all you want to do is get to a block where you can turn around or get out of where you're going because you know you're going the wrong direction and you sure don't want a car coming at you at 50 miles an hour or whatever the case may be. This is a one-way street, and it is Jesus who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Without that, nothing else matters. And so in the midst of this conversation, when he says, I'm going away, but let's talk about love. And they're saying, I can't deal with that. Let's talk about you going away. Jesus says, you got to hear me, Peter. You got to understand me, Philip. Jesus. The one that's sitting at the table with you. The one that has broken bread with you. I am the only way to the Father. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Do you hear that, Thomas? Can you get that through your skull? Because without that, you're just wrapped up in this emotional outburst that you're going through right now. To say that there is a narrow gate, and that the way is hard, that leads to life, and few there are who find it, sounds narrow-minded. But if you believe that, you are not narrow-minded. You believe in the one who said it. And there is a difference. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I'll stake the rest of my life in him. And yes, that's exclusive. And yes, I have friends who think that there is other ways. And I'm telling you, I hurt because they are my friends and I care. Because I've had discussions and I could see our friendship teetering on whether or not we can remain friends as the deeper we get into some of these conversations. And I don't like it. Because I like them. And so the inside of me just wants to simply say, well, that's my way. You do you. And Jesus says, no, you do me. End. Not you do you. I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Good works can't save you. Jesus did the work of salvation. And he did it by taking my sin and your sin upon him and nailing it to the cross. He did it by being buried in that tomb. And come that first day of the week, that Sunday morning, with that stone rolled away, living, never to die again. Jesus defeated my sin on the cross, and he defeated my death through the empty tomb. So he's the only way. There isn't anybody else. And it's not going to be religion. It's going to be Jesus. Believe me, the Jewish people understood religion. They had a religion without power. Jesus says it's about me. When I am baptized, I am not baptized as a good work that I do. I'm not. I am baptized into Jesus Christ. What that means is when I stand in that water, water wherever, I admit I die. I admit I'm done. I publicly, submissively proclaim I am done. I die. And based upon a willingness to die with Christ, I'm buried like he was buried. And I rise up as he came out of that empty tomb. And I live a new life. I am born again, born from above. How does that work? Now, it might be a little fuzzy. It might be, I know, I shouldn't have said it that way. Let me put it this way. I don't fully understand how baptism works. What I do know is that it's what Jesus said, and therefore it's what I do. I give up figuring all the understandings. I just live in the submission. Because you know what? I'm never going to figure out the mind of God anyway. Who can but the Spirit? I can't. So if God, you want me to somehow only come to you through Jesus, and the only way I can put on Christ, clothe myself with Christ, is through this thing that is called baptism, while it makes little sense to me, if you say I do it, end of subject. That's just where I get to. One way. So it begs the question, are you going the wrong way down the one-way street called Jesus? Are you going the right way? Many of us have tried our own path. And it doesn't work. we try to take scripture and to move it into me, it doesn't work. It's Christ. And scripture points me to Jesus, who is my salvation. And I submit to him 100%. Turning around is the only way you can get back on track if you're going down a wrong way on a one-way street. You don't really have any other option. For those who have come to the Father through Jesus, I would tell you to praise him. But I'd also tell you to live him. Live as though he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's how you live. You don't live for you anymore. You live for him. Because you're not you anymore. You were born again. You were born from above. The Spirit of God dwells within you. God places himself there because you become the temple. And now people see God in and through you because you are clothed with Jesus. Are you going the right way? Where's your spiritual direction? There's only one way, and it's Jesus. And if we can help you to live Jesus, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?